Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is not a guarantee, but the odds sure are better. This is Wretched Radio. You're a conservative mom and dad. You're born again. Perhaps, madam, you've given up career in the workplace to do the harder work at home and raise your kids, and you're thinking, is there any point to this? I'm sacrificing so much for these kids. And I see how this generation has turned out, and I feel like I might be wasting my life. You're not. And by the way, whether polls support this or not, it's irrelevant. Raising your kids to love the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the best work that anybody can do. Furthermore, there are indicators that those parents who make those kinds of sacrifices to give up finer wine, to give up perhaps vacations so that they can spend time with their children, those kids, they at least turn out a little happier. Survey says from afterbabble.com that liberal girls use social media more, and liberal girls who don't have parental involvement are more depressed, more anxious. They have led the way in this depression epidemic that we've been seeing. The number one demographic are teenage girls, liberal teenage girls. Why? Because they're allowed to sit on their phone for over 5 hours per day. Liberal girls are spending 5 hours per day on social media. 22% of conservative girls spend 5 hours a day. That's just an insane amount of time. That's 35 hours. That's like a full-time job. By the way, liberal boys, 18%. Conservative boys, 13% spend 5 hours per day on their cell phone. And the results? They're miserable. This from Gallup. It's actually at ifstudies.org, a Gallup poll. The findings are clear. The most important factor in the mental health of adolescent children is the quality of the relationship with their caregivers. Jimmy, we need to call Benny Hinn, I think is what we need to do.
Why?
But so that we can find some catchers. Because, I'm ready. Knock me over with a feather. I could have gone down on. You mean kids do better when they've got a relationship with their parents? There's a shocker. This is strongly related to parenting practices, with the best results coming from, here it is, warm, responsive, and rule-bound, disciplined parenting. You mean the way the Bible says we're supposed to parent? Gonna need one of those catchers again. Whoa, there's a mind blower for you. That parents who love their kids and love them enough to say no, love them enough to say, you're not allowed to do that. I love you too much. Furthermore, I am willing to discipline you to make sure that you don't harm yourself because I care that much. I sure wish that woman who was sitting kind of kitty corner to me on the airplane, it was from Fargo to Minneapolis last week. This woman, bless her heart, she had her little boy about 2 to 3 years. Did I tell you about this, Jimmy?
No.
2 to 3 year old kid. He did well getting off the tarmac. We're up in the air, and he decided, I think I'm going to pitch a fit. Never articulated why. I think the kid probably 3 years old, maybe. Screaming at the top of his lungs, just shrill. And not even, I want a toy. I want cookie. I want to get out. Just screaming. And mom was doing the passive parenting thing. Okay, let's express ourselves a different way, shall we? And my favorite part of the whole trip, even when we landed, the kid just keeps screaming and screaming and screaming. The bell, we finally get to the gate. The bell dings. We stand up. And now I can see the kid. And he looks at me, screaming. And I just gave him a look. And he stopped immediately. One man looking at a boy who was having a fit stopped immediately. Dad, are you in the game at home? This is an epidemic, and I'm not sure that any of us are immune from all of these trends that we see out in society. If you're out in a public place, just watch the dynamic. And there's a kid who's having a total meltdown, and there's a mom and a dad. Just check dad out. Just watch dad and see if he's involved or not. Most times when I witness the meltdowns, dad is totally disengaged, totally absent. And not that we need a Gallup poll to tell us, but dads who actually discipline their kids raise kids that have happiness. They're not as depressed because they've got parents who are abiding by natural law. There are just some things that are obvious in nature. I like to call them spiritual metaphysical laws, but you can call them natural laws. There's just certain things that need to happen for things to turn out right, because that is the fabric of the universe. And one of those things is parents and dads who are sometimes strict, not all the time, not ogres. Because there is a difference, a big difference, between authoritarian and authoritative parenting. From this particular survey, children raised in authoritative homes are more likely to exhibit self-control, social competence, success in school, compliance with rules, and reasonable social norms. Even more confidence and creativity. Not so with authoritarian parents. Sit down. Be quiet. Don't think. Leave us alone. That's an authoritarian parent. Those kids don't turn out well. Neither do permissive parents, kids, that they just let them do whatever. Those kids don't turn out great. But those who find that balance of being loving and disciplined with discipline raise kids that have better all of the aforementioned things. Authoritative versus authoritarian. From this article at IF Studies, hundreds of subsequent empirical studies show that depression, anxiety, and behavioral problems are significantly lower when children experience this form of authoritative parenting. So in other words, if we would just do it, you know, God's way, the one who designed the place. Isn't it funny how we go looking to virtually every other source than the one who knows definitively? How many parenting trends have we seen? It's starting with Dr. Spock, and now you let them cry it out. Now you don't do that. Now you don't discipline them at all. And then you need to be 1, 2, 3 time on. How's about we just ask God? All right, so you are the one who thought of humans and made us and knit us together in our mother's wombs. How should we be doing this? And the answer is warm, loving, disciplined parenting. That's the formula for success. And by the way, parents that are involved like that, it doesn't matter about socioeconomic status. So those parents who are deceived into thinking, I'll have better kids if we are both working and making a lot of money and we can buy a lot of stuff for the kids. Nope, that it does not work. It doesn't matter about the amount of money on your paycheck. What matters is if you are an engaged, warm, and disciplining parent. In other words, being authoritative, not authoritarian. Income doesn't buy better parenting, from this article. And more highly educated parents don't score better either. Education only explained 1% of variation between happy kids and miserable kids. In other words, what matters is parental involvement. Now, there is, interestingly, they use politics, but in this particular IF study, which was done with Gallup, they used politics, being conservative politics versus liberal, There's more packaged in that, of course, than mere politics, because it tends to be conservative values and religion. Guess what? Conservative kids are the ones that tended to be happier by a lot. Parents who think highly of marriage, by disagreeing it's an outdated institution and agreeing that it improves the quality of relationships, by strengthening commitment, exhibit better parenting practices and have a higher quality relation with their teens. Parents who wish for their own children to get married someday also tend to be more effective parents. Those who embrace a pro-marriage view on all three have the best outcomes. That shouldn't shock us. That all that does is affirm what the Bible tells us. And maybe especially for you, Dad. I get it. You got responsibility. I do get it. But God wants our hearts to be turned toward our children, and there's good reason for it. It makes a massive difference, especially, by the way, when it comes to kids getting saved. When Dad gets saved, Mom gets saved, kids get saved. Shouldn't shock us. This is Wretched Radio.
Breaking news. In a world where biblical truth is increasingly rare, Fortis Institute is actually expanding. We're expanding our reach every single month. And get this, churches are actually getting stronger through solid biblical teaching. And here's the story. Your gift gets doubled right now through a matching grant. That means twice the impact, twice the reach, twice the transformation. Think more resources, more teaching, more churches equipped with truth that matters. We're not just maintaining around here. We're growing. More radio stations, more content, more believers getting equipped, more churches being strengthened. And unlike those clickbait headlines the world tries to feed us, this is actual verifiable impact. The fine print? Just one thing. The matching grant opportunity ends December the 31st. That's it. No complicated conditions, just a straightforward chance to double your impact. Visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Because while everybody else is backing down, we're stepping up. FortisInstitute.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched. masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know what keeps us up at night? It's watching our culture sprint away from biblical truth like it's running a marathon in the wrong direction. But here's the thing, while others might be tiptoeing around tough issues, we're digging our heels in and standing firm. That's kind of our thing at Fortis Institute. And right now, this very moment, something incredible is happening. A generous friend of the ministry looked at what we're doing and said, hey, let's pour some rocket fuel on this. They're matching every single gift through December the 31st, up to $500,000. Think about that. Your gift doesn't just support bold biblical teaching, it literally doubles in impact. Listen, I'm not just talking about keeping the lights on, I'm talking about equipping believers, strengthening local churches, and being that clear voice of truth in a world that desperately needs it. So if you want to make your year-end giving count twice, just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. Luke was a physician and companion of Paul, who wrote an orderly account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He meticulously details names, places, and events. Luke shows great concern for people of every class, especially overlooked or undesirable people. We are all from various places and classes, but Jesus Christ is the Savior for all mankind.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Four words that say, I love you. This is Wretched Radio. Mom and Dad, you're trying to get to your teenager and communicate, I love you more than anybody else on this planet, and I love you seems to be falling short. Well, here are four words that will help you get it through their social media saturated heads that you do love them. Here are the four words: get off your phone. That's right. Telling your kids to get off your phone is another way to say, I love you. Why? Study after study concludes the more time kids spend on their cell phone, the more miserable they are. It is as simple as that. Tumblr in 2014 had reached its zenith. I think the Tumblr's still going on, isn't it, Jimmy?
I think so.
The Tumblr started pumping information into our teenagers' eyeballs. They started to communicate worldview. And this, I think, explains why we see a generation that is so different than the preceding generations. This is from afterbabble.com, quoting a number of sources, but one would be a forthcoming book called Generations, studying Gen Zers and discovering that the kids who spend more time on the cell phones are more miserable. And they dug deeper than that. So what are the messages that the kids are getting that causes them to be so unhappy? This is going to sound like that therapeutic language that so saturates teenagers' vocabulary. They discovered that courtesy of Tumblr, it's the main, this is quoting, the main petri dish in which nascent ideas of identity, in other words, skin color, sexuality, fragility, language, harm, and victimhood evolved and intermixed. In other words, Tumblr, it can be Insta, it doesn't matter. These liberal, awful ideas, they started teaching it to the kids, and it is being heard by them, and it is being absorbed by them now for over a decade. The Tumblr started in 2010. It reached its zenith in 2014. But what were the messages that were being downloaded into your kids' brains? It's all about how you look. It is all about your sexuality. It is all about language and harm. If people use words that you don't like, words are violence. It's not just at the university campuses where these nonsensical ideas are being taught. It is through social media, and our kids have caught the disease. So there were three truths, really untruths, that were discovered, that were being promoted on the Tumblr machine starting in 2013. Overall, the kids started to embrace these untruths. Number one, they came to believe they were fragile and could be harmed by books, speakers, and words, which they learned were forms of violence. Have you noticed that kids, Gen Zers, they tend to be more hurt, more troubled, unhappy when there are any words that are used that perhaps correct them or insinuate that maybe they don't know as much as, say, the parents do? And that's because Tumblr and others and the universities and Netflix shows have been teaching a lesson that is so powerful the kids are latching onto it, whether they grow up in a good Christian home or not. And that is, we're fragile. And books and ideas, this is why they cancel speakers on campus. We can't let these violent conservatives onto the campus. They're going to hurt us with their words. Where did that come from? Answer, social media. Number two, untruth. The kids came to believe that their emotions, especially their anxieties, were reliable guides to reality. Have you seen that? Feelings-led teenagers? Feelings-led young adults? And I would offer this to you, and this is intended to be a help. This is not intended by any means to be a slap. But if you're between the age of, say, 15 and maybe 30, even a little higher than maybe 32, and you're not as happy as you think that you could be, I would ask you the question, is it possible that because of social media, you have been trained to have your emotions lead the train of your life rather than belief in God being the engine that pulls thinking, emotions, will, all of it, that instead it's feelings that is the engine? You would do well to perhaps at least identify, what was the cause of this thinking? Why do my feelings drive me? And I do see this regularly. I see it especially when it comes to the subject of assurance. I just don't feel like I'm saved. If you're between the ages of 15 and 30-something, is it possible? It's because you're wired to let your feelings dictate reality. If you're lacking assurance and you're in the, maybe even beyond those age ranges, honestly, and you can't seem to get assurance because you don't feel like you're saved, you might want to thank social media for that. Now, the question, of course, is how do you overcome that? I would suggest a couple of things. Number one, get off your phone. Get off. If it's feeding you contrary truths than what the Bible says, that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, you need to get off your phone. You just need to get off of that thing. And you need to replace what you're downloading into your eyeballs with truth, with biblical truth. Instead of staring at a cell phone, you need to stare at Jesus with unveiled face. And you'll be transformed from one level of glory unto the other. This is a diet issue, and I see this particular malady affecting a lot of evangelical Christians, and it manifests itself in a lack of assurance. Number three, as of 2013, the generation in 2013, they basically accepted society is comprised of victims and oppressors. Good people, bad people. And these distortions cause them to become more anxious and depressed than other groups. Does that describe you? Does that describe your children? If it does, use those four words. Get them off the phone. You gotta figure it out, Mom and Dad. I do not envy you. When we were reading these articles at home, Mrs. Friel and I were talking about it. Because in about 2014, the kids were already, they had the smartphones, and our kids didn't have any phones. And so we started with flip phones. When they turned 18, they got the smartphone at 18. Did we see a change in our kids? Yeah, we did. But you will too. So I get it. You can keep your kids off the phone, but then when they finally get one, they're going to consume. Yeah, I understand that tension, but I don't think that means I'm going to get off the field and I'm just going to surrender it to a cell phone and let them have it. You got it. I'm not sure that we appreciate how powerful social media is. I just don't think that we grasp what the peer pressure that is involved. The messages that a message communicates, this is what cool people do. This is the way the in-group thinks. This is the way that you're supposed to live if you really want to be happy. And guess what those messages are? The aforementioned three untruths. I would add a fourth one. The accepted truth that is believed by most teenagers, courtesy of social media, your parents is stupid. They know nothing. And church is dumb. And if it's keeping you from having fun, then you need to jettison that thing. And that's exactly what so many kids are doing. I wish I had a formula for you, Mom and Dad. I wish I did. Because even if you wait until they're 18 or you wait until they move out of the house, they're still going to have access to it. So what do we do? What do we do? I come back to two things. Number one, parents need to somehow be telling their kids to get off the phone. And they need to be doubling down on downloading biblical truth. Number two, parents need support. They need church family support. I take every opportunity I can from the pulpit on Sunday mornings to speak directly to children. I think this was last week. Jesus is in his hometown. He's in his hometown, Nazareth, population 1,600 to 2,000. How exciting. He's going to go see family, and he knows people there. He grew up with them, and he starts teaching them, and they hate him. Oof. How could they hate him? And I think the answer is proximity, the nearness. Well, we've seen this kid around here. He can't be a big deal. And that's the mindset kids can adopt. Oh, my parents, what do they know? They're so, don't take your parents for granted. I tried to reinforce that on Sunday using the text. If the church does not start speaking louder and more messages than social media, oof. This is Wretched Radio.